All right, internets, welcome to this week's installment of the ROI of Why, your number one podcast that focuses on all things impact and purpose as it relates to business. As always, joined by the very lovely Angie Kubicek. Homie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. How was your holiday?
It was good. A lot of family time, which is always enjoyable when I feel like during the work week, it's always a push-pull of balance of getting that time in. So it was really cool just to kind of hang back with the kiddos.
Nice.
But also then, you know, you always get that reminder by 7:30, 7:45 on Sunday night where you're like, yeah, it's daycare day tomorrow. And mom is excited to see other adults.
Were you able to like legit unplug from work and take a moment?
Yeah, I did. I, you know, it's always sometimes in the back of my mind. But it's what's lovely about those holiday breaks is when people do it at the same time, because then you can actually shut down versus I feel like when you take a vacation in the middle of May and no one else is taking that vacation, all I tend to think about is how many things are compounding in Slack or inbox. Or
how many notifications.
How about you? Did you enjoy some time with the kiddos?
Yeah, it was really nice. It was really good. We made all the food, which was interesting in our home, right? But, you know, tofurkey days, just as rad as turkey day for us. We set up the trees. We tackled the spooky tree, which we talked about in a previous episode. That turned out really rad. And then we just, you know, hung out, spent time together, watched movies, played games.
Did you watch like The Nightmare Before Christmas or something along those lines? Yeah, straight up. Still is on the to-do list. That'll be on the next break I take.
I feel like I killed
pretty
clear direction
every time.
Angie,
I don't take direction very well. Andrew, I should know this about me.
Yep, I'm learning that. And it's fine. So speaking of direction, why don't you give us direction and our audience direction as it relates to what we're going to be doing in today's episode?
Yeah, so I think I kind of leaned into it a little bit during what we were just chatting about, but I think we all are kind of falling to this world where we're always on, we're always connected. And so as a working parent, that's like a super tough battle for us to kind of figure out that new work-life balance in a world where we are always able to be reached. And so we have Jessica Charleston here today, who is a co-founder of JobShare Connect. And you kind of are taking on this challenge that all working parents are facing. And how do you fill all the buckets and, quote, have it all? Mm-hmm. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
This will be good. We're excited to pick your brain and just learn more about your story and what got you to this moment today.
Great. So talk to us a little bit. So so Jessica and I have a work history together and a friendship, but barely at a year ago, you kind of blew up your world and decided that you were going to tackle a problem you noticed. So kind of walk us through what made you realize that this was something that had to get addressed.
Well, thank you for letting me be here today and share my story. Anybody knows me, I love to talk. So this is good for me.
Same. This should be interesting.
So honestly, in like 2006, we'll rewind. I've always had a huge passion for leadership. My entire career. And as I grew in my career, I started noticing like I did not have a lot of role models who looked like me. Married, woman, kids, family. And I was really looking for that. Sheryl Sandberg had come out with Lean In. It was like, she gets it. I didn't have kids at the time, so I didn't really. Anyway, so that happened. And in 2016, I was part of a Women's Fund steering committee that was commissioning a Women in Leadership study. And they did this study in 96, 2006, and 2016. And basically the results came out that nothing was changing. There wasn't more women in executive positions. There wasn't more women in board positions. And so the solutions to the problem that they were proposing were like, bring more women to meetings, all the things you're hearing about, make sure they have a seat at the table, invite them to golf, whatever. And it was honestly like keeping me up at night where I was like, is this really going to actually solve the problem? Is this actually going to make a difference? Are we actually addressing the root cause here? At the same point in time, I'd had my third kid. I had several friends who had opted out of the workforce. And I was looking at like, this is hard, but I love work. And I always have found that I'm my best mom when I'm my best wife and my best self when I have the work that kind of lights me up.
Right.
So struggling with that, one night I had like an epiphany of, okay, maybe the issue is in Omaha. It's easy to opt out, hard to opt back in. And so maybe if we went down the path of reentry, we could help women have a better path to reenter and eventually be able to rise to those leadership positions. There's people doing this on the coast. There isn't that many people doing it in the Midwest. So I ended up talking to Susan Hendricks from ICANN, talking to Michelle Zeke from the Women's Fund, Marianne Stevens from College of St. Mary's, and said, you know, if we put together some type of reentry program, what could that look like? Would that be something you guys would be interested in supporting? They were all so supportive. But yet I didn't really feel like I knew the path forward of what I wanted to build or what it should look like. But I got interviewed by Today's Omaha Woman. And that was important because, well, as they were talking to me, they're like, what are you doing? Are you starting something? I'm like, no, I'm really not. But I feel like there's something here. Mm-hmm. Well, Gina Piccarella, my co-founder, PhD, an organizational psychologist, was at that point in time home with her two 18-month twins who were born prematurely. They were born at 31 weeks. They're in the NICU for 2 months.
Wow.
The doctor told her it would be good if they did not go to daycare for at least 2 years to keep up their immune system. So she, at this point in time, has worked, had an amazing career in talent management, worked to get her PhD, and at the same time worked really hard to have these kids.
Right.
Yeah. And is like, okay. And honestly, from like sleeping and feeding, she's like, I am not good.
Able to.
Right. So she opted out. And it was at about 18 months in when she saw that article and was like, well, maybe I could use my skills to help women reenter. So we actually reconnected through someone who knew us both in the Women's Fund. Gina was actually on the steering committee with me, but we weren't close. And she helped commission the study too. So we end up having wine and getting together.
God, I'd love to buy a wine decision.
Exactly.
Why aren't we having wine right now?
We should be. I would engage.
I mean, it is on my cabinet. Exactly. So.
Happy holidays. So Gina and I mean, we met several times and honestly, usually with wine, and said, what are we doing? What are we trying to solve? But we weren't making progress forward. And at one point, I had kind of the aha of like, so at this point in time, I'm making great money. We have help. We have three kids. They're getting now in two school systems. My husband has flexibility. I have flexibility. I have family here on paper. I have all the boxes checked on how to do dual income professional life.
Right.
And I am hanging on by my teeth. I'm like, this is so hard. Mm-hmm. And it is not seemingly getting easier as the kids get into more activities. I cannot imagine bringing Gina back into this world and being like, come do what I'm doing. This is great. And at the same point, her husband traveled all the time. She did not have family here. She looked at what I had and said, if I had what Jess had, then I could do work too. So we said, you know, honestly, the work model has to change. And so we start doing the research and homework on it. And it's like, the work model hasn't changed since 1920, when it was, or the 20s, when it came out as like a labor issue because people were getting abused on the railroads. And that's why we formed this. Henry Ford was like the forward thinker of the time that said, we can do 9 to 5. If you fast forward 100 years, not much has changed.
Right.
Interesting.
And so
you could almost argue the opposite now.
Yeah.
Like with, just always on.
We're always on again.
Yeah, exactly.
So we, now we're doing the same thing. We're going crazy. We're 18-hour days. So we said the work model needs to change. And we were so focused on women. We were like, the work model needs to change. Here's how we're going to do this stuff for women. And the work model needing to change actually got us introduced to Rebecca Stavik, who's the executive director at Do Space, who then said, you need to talk to Erica Wassinger at the Startup Collaborative.
Who's amazing.
Who is amazing. All of these women are. And Erica, we came to Erica and she's like, and we talked to her and Nathan at the time. And they were like, this is bigger than just women, you guys. This is society. Mm. And we're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And they're like,
swing at that.
So we want to change the world. It's totally fine. So we're like, it is a paradigm shift. And so the wonderful thing about the Startup Collaborative, I am not an entrepreneur. I have loved having and working with like a goal and vision in mind. I love creating within the security of like, you got a big backdrop. If it doesn't work, just really show them that you're working hard.
Yeah.
But the Startup Collaborative gives you that process. So we take the first step. And then as a business person, I know we can talk about these issues of women in leadership, of work-life balance all day long. But if it doesn't make financial sense, there's no ROI.
Yeah.
You know, it's all great to say, but really you don't see it executed. And so we dove in and we said, okay, what's a business problem that this could solve?
Right.
And so we said, is it difficult to recruit and retain top talent? And that validated for small, medium, and large companies in Omaha. Mm-hmm. Like, the nice thing is Gina and I both have a really strong network of leaders within the community. And so it was small, medium, and large people said, yes, it does. Then we said, okay, we're going to send out another survey to talent and say, is it difficult to, or do you want the 8-to-5 work model to change? Or what would it mean to you if the 8-to-5 work model would change? Doesn't need to change. And I sent that out. And I remember because I sent it out on my birthday, which was like, this is lame. I'm doing this on my birthday, but this is the time I can do it. So I sent it out on my birthday. And I wake up the next morning and there's like over 140 people who have already completed it. And they're like providing paragraphs of like, if this could change, I would be better as a mom. I would be better as a friend. I would be a better parent.
Wow.
I would like heartfelt responses that you're like, ugh, there's something here. So I went to work. I was on cloud 9 calling Gina like, oh my God, there's something here. And I had the worst like blow up day of my life, a trifecta of horrendousness at work, horrendousness. I went to the Women's Fund luncheon that day. Allie Reisman was talking about the abuse of power in the gymnastics world.
Yeah.
And in our church, we had a abuse of power in that situation. And so it was like a trifecta of abuse of power day. And yeah. I was like, I'm done.
Just the perfect
I'm
storm.
Out. I'm done. Yeah. And I've been a person my whole life who've said like, I wish God would talk to me. If God, so there's all those people like, God gave me a sign. I'm like, if he gave me a sign, I would listen. It felt like it was like a slap in the face
mm-hmm. yeah.
sign day where you're like, I'm not doing this anymore. So I called Gina and I'm like, hey, because at this point we're both working nights, afternoons, mm-hmm. like whenever we can squeeze in a little. She's working nap times. And I called her and I said, I don't think I can do this anymore. And she's like, okay, so we're all in. I got to get a babysitter. And she did.
Wow.
And then the next week, you guys, Erica said, hey, there's this opportunity with the FinTech Fellowship through First National Bank. I think you guys could apply for it. It was a competitive grant process. We still at this point didn't know
what was
happening. We just had data. And so we went all in and we ended up winning the FinTech Fellowship with job sharing as the solution. So at the very end of our like 11 or I think it was an 11 week process before we actually went to pitch, we came across job sharing as this future of work solution. And we're like, why aren't more people job sharing?
Right.
This all of a sudden solves all of these problems. Like, all of a sudden you are getting to check out and somebody's keeping your job going and you can marry and match skills that can, you know, build a unicorn. Like you can have a PhD and a marketing business person, an organizational psychologist and a business marketing person coming together and moving mm-hmm. that much more fast, or that much quicker. And, we're like, why aren't more people doing this? And we're like, because it's so hard to find the match and to find the right match at the right time. So we came up with JobShare Connect and we ended up winning that competitive grant, hitting our markers for the startup collaborative, and then which then unlocked another component of the grant. So we've got over $80,000 in grants and equity funding.
And when was this, just for a frame of reference?
2000, earlier this year.
Nice. So very recent.
So very, very
so
recent.
Cool.
Yeah. So we actually founded and like had a name at the end of February. And then we actually started probably, we used March and April to like get a website up-ish, mm-hmm. to get like business cards, mm-hmm. all the like basic collateral to prove we're real. And then we realized nobody even knows what job sharing is. Nobody even knows it's an option. And
give us the quick and dirty elevator pitch on that, though, just for anybody in the audience who has not heard that term
of
before.
Job sharing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So job sharing is when two people come together to fill the full-time roles and responsibilities of one position. Mm-hmm. So this is different. A lot of people go, so why isn't it just two part-time people? Because this role, the full-time responsibilities, continues when the other person's out. So if you dissected a marketing director's mm-hmm. position, for example, and you said, I need somebody who's great at strategy, I need somebody who's great at analytics, I need somebody who can, you know, help us optimize what we're doing digitally. A lot of times companies are looking for these unicorn employees that, mm-hmm. and also I want you to be able to recruit people and speak on our behalf and, but make sure everything has a positive ROI. That unicorn employee is harder and harder to find. by marrying two people with a job share, they speak the same language. They can keep going when the other person's not in the office, but they could have different skills and abilities that each one leans into. Mm-hmm. And so what we've found is, and studies actually show that they're about 30% more productive in a job share position than sometimes a full-time position.
Sure.
So if you're taking that 40 to 60 hour role and dividing it into 20 to 30 fresh hours, mm-hmm. It can give you back a lot of what you are looking for.
I'm sure it's also based on a lot of the data that shows that like the 4-day work week is actually far more productive and efficient mm-hmm. than the 5-day
exactly.
work week, right? So if somebody is in a job sharing scenario, is that typically their only focus or their only job sharing commitment? Or do you see people taking on multiple job sharing mm-hmm. opportunities? Like I just out of curiosity.
Yeah. No, so it's interesting because in the U.S., this is not a widely adopted practice.
Sure.
So a lot of times when you hear about a job share, it's two people who usually both hit at some point in their life where they said, I'm out if I have to keep doing this.
Yeah.
They come together and they go to their employer. Their employer says, you know what? It would be great if I want to keep you both. Yes, you guys can try this out. So that would only be one role.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see the use cases, and as we've kind of dove into the research, it's like if you look at the use cases start to get really big. If you look at millennials who want to have, like a lot of people we've talked to, like have their entrepreneurship passion, so they want to go back to school, or they need the stability of a full-time career, like the job share would give them the opportunity to be able to work, you know, 20 mm-hmm. hours to have that stability and then go pursue their passion.
Yeah.
It also is a way to kind of level set the playing field and test into a company. So, you know, from a diversity and inclusion standpoint, you may not have the right pedigree or experiences to enter into that company. But what we do is we, because of Gina's expertise, have a very stringent assessment and matching process. So we understand if you have the transferable skills mm-hmm. and abilities to do well at this job. So what that means is we're not just looking at a resume. We're right. looking at this whole person. And so, yes, could you in that situation, we've talked to people who have said, I would do two job shares because I do actually need probably closer to what that full-time salary mm-hmm. could look
right,
like.
Right.
But if this would get me in, and then when there is an opportunity to like lean in or there is a full-time opportunity, I will then probably be more likely to be considered.
And it's got to be nice too, not only for the candidate, but also for the organization to
exactly.
have that almost like proof of concept
exactly.
approach, right? Where you're
exactly.
able to validate, like, is this even, like you had said, the diversity mm-hmm. And inclusion component.
We talked
right?
to a company and they're like, you know, we have a lot of sales people who come in from this industry or who want to come in, like transfer from this industry, which
yeah.
makes sense for our business, but would never have the pedigree of the salesperson we would hire.
Sure.
Right.
We could use this to bridge that gap
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
then test, try, kind of it is kind of a try before you buy. And then if you match them with people who are already in that organization,
mm-hmm.
you have your person who you trust and can cross train and like get them onboarded more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you finding? You kind of touched on that this is a paradigm shift mm-hmm. in the business world. And mm-hmm. so how are you even like starting to embark on those conversations? Because yes, there's some of that happening coastally, but in the Midwest, it's a pretty limited experience to mm-hmm. this job share philosophy or not having people work necessarily the 8 to 5. So how are those conversations going and how are businesses responding to this like new way to do it?
So it's interesting because people will assume it's coastal and it's mm-hmm. actually not happening. We've talked to people on the coast and they're like, so what's your footprint like? It's like, well, actually the people, this is a European model. It's in Europe and Australia, but there's literally no one else doing job share matching in the United States today.
Oh,
wow.
There's one other company in the United States doing job share consulting. So, I mean, that's just helping people figure out how to propose a job share to their employer.
Sure.
So it is like, we did not probably realize, we knew at the point when we started that this was going to be like a shift, but we both knew what job sharing was.
Mm-hmm.
And companies, it's been really interesting. We've been able to speak at a lot of like one-to-many events. So we spoke with the Greater Omaha Chamber, Nonprofit Association of the Midlands. We've had a booth at ICANN. We've spoke at 1 Million Cups. That usually, we've done Disrupt HR. Like we've had a mm-hmm. good list of ways that then people who are interested can invite us back for a conversation. And companies have said anywhere from, wow, you girls are really entrepreneurial. This is a little too progressive for us. To, okay, how can we actually get this started?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how could we test into it in a way that then can prove it? Like, what's our smartest test in? Our early adapters were really small companies, mm-hmm. who just couldn't find people to hire.
Yeah.
So the big companies are more interested in it from a retention standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I retain this top talent that I don't want to lose, and give them the flexibility they need? And the smaller companies are the ones who are like, if you can just find two people to fill this role instead of one, fine. Because yeah. I am stuck right now and I mm-hmm. haven't been able to figure it out.
So break us off on some of those early adopters, right? What were some of the challenges or objections that you received from those organizations? I mean, I know you mentioned those two mm-hmm. scenarios or reactions, mm-hmm. but like, as far as like looking at an organization from the inside out, if I'm an owner of a business, mm-hmm. what's going through my head when I'm being presented with job sharing and this opportunity, why wouldn't I do it? What were some of those challenges that you faced?
Well, people have it's a fear of the unknown.
Sure.
We try and eliminate all of that by upfront taking people through a pretty stringent process. So we are screening for success at the role from, we have a validated assessment, which I did not realize is very important in hiring, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. you actually have something that is validated for hiring. This is, again, where Gina's superpowers come in. So she's built a process that it's one proprietary to us from the job sharing. We have a job sharing assessment, like, because people could say, that sounds like a really good idea. And then not have the values that you need mm-hmm. as a person mm-hmm. in job shares, not have the shared goals. People who are super competitive and can't kind of wrap their mind around, like, we're both going to get credit for this and we're both going to like fall down, actually aren't great for this. And or if you're like, okay, so we'll do this for like 6 months and then the better person will go full time.
Right.
It's like, that's not the people we're looking for. So we take them through a job sharing assessment, and then we take them through a skills, behavior, and knowledge assessment for that role. Then we take them through a chemistry check. We take them through an inbox exercise, which basically means they actually do work that they would be doing in that role. And that part to me was like, oh my God, we're doing so much. And that was a Gina, of course, idea. And it has been the most revealing, because people can test and they can meet each other and like each other, and then they actually work together, and somebody doesn't hit a deadline or somebody doesn't deliver the work that they thought you were going to, and you're like, oh,
I hate you.
Exactly. No, this person. And then we have them evaluate each other confidentially, and then they have a coaching session with Gina built in. So we take that employer along very far in the process, and that's before we get paid from them.
Nice.
So by the time we actually hand that over that person, and once they understand our process, they feel more confident, and they can keep looking for people in that role until,
well,
you know.
The interesting part there is just like, as we even go to hire and recruit in, you know, you have those first couple of interviews with somebody and you're mm-hmm. like, oh man, they're a rock star. And then amazing. They get in the door and you're like,
what happened?
Do you know how to hit send?
But that's
anything?
Also maybe a component of the system that's broken, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like the interview is the most culturally accepted location or scenario in which you can lie your ass off.
Right. You can be a really great, fun person.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I ran that department.
And then you get into the office and you're like, oh man, you're actually a wet blanket. And that sucks.
You actually had a team who did all your work for you.
Right.
Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Killing
so
it.
I think that's like super interesting, just because as companies it is, it's like in right now in Nebraska specifically, we have like a 4% unemployment mm-hmm. rate. So when you're looking to hire those hitters or that killer talent, that it's really tough, mm-hmm. but there's this great pool of this, what you're calling the like opt-out market, where mm-hmm. it's people who have opted out because opting in wasn't an option.
Right.
And my dad's company in Omaha that he works for, that's one of their biggest challenges, is that they're getting so much flack for not having enough women at the table, mm-hmm. but they go to their women leaders and they're like, I don't want to work like you do.
Right.
Like, this is,
I don't want that.
This is as far as I want to progress, because what you're doing sounds awful.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a struggle that they have within their organization, which is indicative to a lot mm-hmm. of the conversations we've had, just as in it's like, man, how much is it worth just being like, no, I'm digging in because I don't want to opt out.
Right.
But then sometimes opting out becomes the only choice, as in Gina's experience.
Uh-huh. Right.
So.
Well, and my mom is, you know, when we were first getting started on this, she was like, Jess, why are you doing this right now? Like, my kids aren't old. My oldest is in fourth grade. My youngest is a five-year-old pre-K-er, and my middle is a first grader. And so she's like, why are you doing this right now? And I was like, Mom, like, when I have my job and my career, I can be like on fire. It's like lightning bolts out of your fingertips. It is all that I am excited about. And it gives me all of the energy. But then my home, and when I'm with the kiddos and my husband and my family, and have that's all my sustainable joy, I don't feel like I should have to choose between those two.
Right.
You know? And one of the pieces that has come up in this process is the talent that we have in our talent pool now. 70% are working full time and would leave, or 70% of our talent pool is working full time and would leave their position for a job share opportunity.
Right.
20% would re-enter. And so it's like, it's the talent pool is proving itself out where you're like, this is, and it's not a forever option. It's not something that you would probably do your entire career. But as we've talked to people, there are people getting promoted together. Mm-hmm. There are people who have done this. We talked to this team that worked together for 9 years because we did a lot of kind of like due diligence before bringing this to life. And they kind of laughed because they said, you know, our kids all got into school and then our husbands were like, so are you done now? Like, and like, no. And they were promoted. I mean, they went from like account executive position to a vice president role together mm-hmm. because they both had the same goals. They both had the same ambitions. They both wanted that career that lit them up, that exercised their talents, that demonstrated what they had to give back. But they didn't want to give up, you know, being at home after school every day.
Well, it's all about the balance too, right? Like so many people that I've met or had conversations with and whatnot, you need to be driven and motivated by passion, right? And we spend so much of our lives at work that if we don't love what we do, we very quickly and easily become miserable in the outside, you know, or outside of the office and in our home lives. And you had talked about the home scenario with the kids and being the best mm-hmm. wife and being the best mom. And it's like, we feel how we think.
Right.
And so if we are constantly just under pressure and stress, and even if we find the gig that is motivated mm-hmm. by passion, but then there's the burnout factor because you're putting in a billion hours a week or whatever, it's like, how sustainable is that?
Well, and your kids are falling apart or your marriage is falling apart.
Because then it comes like, home with you.
Exactly. Right. And it's like and the interesting part too is we have had women who have, and so we have had women who have reached out to us after, you know, being out of the field for like 20 years and not knowing what they want to do and not knowing what talents they have. And they are so smart and so talented. And we're able to prove that then through assessments. So then we're mm-hmm. able to then present them next to candidates and mm-hmm. be like, we would still recommend this person. And then companies can feel more confident, like, okay, now this person has a path. And so the other piece of that is the knowledge transfer of the boomers who are on their mm-hmm. way out. So now you're like, so we talk about it from parents because that's what we built this from and we built this because of. But the reality is there is a generation that has so much knowledge and is about to walk out the door. And it's like they want to go spend time with their grandkids now.
Right.
They want to go travel. But they also really self-identify through their career.
Yeah.
So how do you keep them? And we actually need them engaged because there's a major talent crisis going on.
Sure. Right.
So how do you keep them engaged? And you look at job sharing from like a mentorship or even like a, you know, building somebody who's able to transfer their skills.
Like a master and apprentice almost scenario.
Train into that situation.
That's
so
amazing.
The problem we have is there's so many of those. There's it works for the boomers. It works for the people who are raising kids. It works for the millennials. It works for diversity. So that's kind of a problem.
So I feel like, because I know we're already nearing our time for the conversation at some point here, but like, and I feel like we should have another conversation to see just all the things and how things are progressing and whatnot. We made it like, two bullet points into our questions today.
I'm sorry, this is the problem.
That's what happens. That's like interesting. I just want to know all the things. I want to ask your permission if I can ask kind of a heady question real quick.
kind of
zip it up.
Nope, okay. Sure can't.
Let me paint a picture for you. Okay. Let's say that you and I encounter each other in the Haymarket one afternoon, just mm-hmm. walking past each other.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, well, Andrew, thanks for doing that podcast for that one day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, hey, that was a lot of fun. Thank you. And you're like, wow, that's a neat fanny pack you have there. And I'm like, thanks, it's a dad fanny pack, but hold mm-hmm. on, let me, and I unzip it. I procure this Zach Morris-esque brick 80s phone. You're
right.
Like, why would you even have that? I say, okay, well, check this out. This is actually a magic Zach Morris phone, mm-hmm. and you can make a 1-minute phone call to yourself before you started this company to give yourself one piece of advice. What is it?
probably trust yourself and trust your intuition. And you are capable. I mean, it's so scary. But as you get in and you actually get to know a lot of people who are doing really cool things, the competitive stuff kind of does tick up and you're like, wait a second. If you can do that, I should be able to do that too. But, you know, I would also say there's a lot of life that worked out serendipitously at that time. If this would have happened a year or two before, I don't know that I could have made the jump. I mean, there's a lot of considerations that go into starting your own thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of outside factors that go into if you can keep doing it. I feel like I've had an extreme privilege to be able to even keep going for a year and every week be like, I got to do it again next week. Okay. So also giving yourself like the grace of like, you'll know when the right time is, but be very open to it.
And I think also not being afraid to jump too.
Yeah.
Right. So before coming to Firespring, I mean, I was an entrepreneur for about a decade and I feel like it's pretty similar to like deciding to have kids, or at least that's what it was for me.
You're never going to know until you do
it. There's always a reason why. Maybe not right now, right? But if I found in my both of my situations with my companies, it was always that like perfect storm serendipity of, all right, I'm just going to go full rip and do the thing. And
if I also said, okay, you've got roughly 20 to 30 years of your career left.
Yeah.
Are you going to be mad if you didn't do it? And are you going to want to do this when you're, you know, in 10 to 15 years, when you're potentially looking at retirement goals? Like, you're going to go.
We could have a whole conversation about regret, because that scares the shit out of me. Right. That's like the biggest motivator of them all.
Looking back on your life,
right,
are you going to be mad if you didn't do this? And I would have been.
Well, I feel like you answered that question like a boss. Oh, so well done.
She is one. So yeah, oh, she's great.
Your shoe fits.
Thank you, guys. This was so nice. Thank you for letting me verbal vomit all over you.
No, this was amazing. We enjoyed it. It's easy cleanup. And I feel like we should definitely have you back for another conversation.
Yes.
That way, not only for us ourselves, we know what's going on and how things are progressing, but also for the audience as well. So before we cut you loose today, though, let's do the self-promo thing, right? Like, what's the web address, social profiles?
Oh,
how can people find you online?
Yep.
Break us off on that.
JobshareConnect.com as our website. You can follow us on Facebook. Twitter is like at JobShare Today. We are not as good at Twitter. And so right now, if you search JobShare Connect on Facebook, we should come up. And what you can do if you're interested in job sharing is join our talent pool, and that's free and confidential. And what that just helps us do is have the data to present to companies to say, this is the caliber of talent that are interested. And if you're willing to try them out.
That's awesome.
So, awesome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you wake up one day and say, I'm going to just totally change the way industry is ran?
No,
right?
Not at all. I did wake up one, like when I started my first company, that was a, like, I had been scheming on it, but like had always kind of talked myself off the ledge. And then there was the perfect storm where it was like, all right, today is the day.
Yeah.
And looking back now, that was scary as shit and probably not a smart move when I looked at like what was actually in the savings account at the time. But separate story for a separate day.
Yeah.
But by no means was it a, like, I'm going to swing at society.
Right.
Which is awesome. And we've had conversations on the show about that through and through as well.
Yeah, so it's definitely, I think it'll be interesting. You know, we're in 2020, just, you know, just getting started with that. And it'll be really kind of cool, I think, over the next 18 months to see how we start to change the way business is running, just because there's so many other conversations happening about capitalism and how do we make sure we're taking care of our communities, and then how are we running our businesses, and how are we running our employment, and how are we, you know, we have this great immigrant pool in our country that are here that could be doing jobs, but because they don't have the traditional backgrounds, they're not getting activated in the right way. So there's just this like human capital, like, deficit that's happening where people aren't being utilized to their talents. So pretty cool to see that that conversation's actually starting here.
I love it.
In our backyard. So
I think we should make sure that we keep that line of communication open so we can
always
have an inside scoop on what things are. So
exactly.
Awesome. Well, this was awesome. I appreciate
good times.
Teeing this one up and always fun to pick a brain with you, homie.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to the ROI of Why this week. Make sure that you smash the hell out of that subscribe button. Connect with us on social media, that 5-star review, all the things. We appreciate the hell out of it. Yeah, for sure. And make sure you tune in for our conversation next week. Monday will be here before you know it.
Yes, it will.
So until then, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.